This podcast is brought to you by Aspire Planning Group, insurance creating a better future for you and your family. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Michael Valkanis joins me now. Michael, it's a delight to have you on the show.
Thanks, Louise. Nice to be on.
Michael, something that I've been talking about on the show for many months now is how great it is to see some Australian coaches make their way abroad. How are you enjoying it over there in the Netherlands?
Yeah, it's very exciting, and it's great to be here and to work here. It's Europe is the mecca of football, and it's football every day, it's football every hour. So when you're a football person, you really enjoy working here. It is a huge industry here, so it's great to be part of it, and thoroughly enjoy working here and learning and improving and even making myself better. So, yeah, it's been great in the Netherlands. It's got a great history of football, and especially even from the development side. And it's interesting to see even where Netherlands football is going now. It felt like in the last 10 to 15 years it was sort of it reached a stalemate and it wasn't going anywhere. But you can see now, even with the Dutch national team, things are changing here, and the Dutch too are starting to evolve and really want to see how they can take football to another level. In the previous years, Germany and the Germans and the Spanish have left them a little bit behind. So, yeah, I'm probably at a good period in Holland where they're looking to change a lot of things and the way they've done them from the past. So it's exciting times here, and I'm really enjoying it. There's a game on every single 90 minutes of the game on. So, and the way they've done the games throughout Europe, where you're not missing games either, whether it's from the EPL or La Liga or Germany or the United States, it's always on. It's just non-stop. It's just football, football, football. But it's just a different world. And you can see how it's an industry here, where in Australia, it's not. And we're trying to make it an industry. We're trying to make it grow, and been going on for years, but here it's just a different world.
Mm. And you touch on the Dutch national team. They're just going from strength to strength, and the quality that they have in their squad is pretty amazing. You know, a lot of young players coming through the ranks, like De Ligt, De Jong. So you're right in saying that football over there is really evolving.
Yeah, you can see even in terms of not only the national team, but even with Ajax and the success they've had so far in the Champions League, and I think they've played some of the best football in the Champions League. Really beautiful possession-based attacking football, creating a lot of chances, and what some might call high-risk football, but they play it very well. And players like De Ligt at the back, who, you know, he could be moving on from talks, you know, that we're hearing either to Barcelona or Bayern Munich to follow, or following De Jong to Barcelona. They're great players, and they've got an exceptional team, and they're playing really good football. And look, in the past, the Dutch have always played a really nice possession-based football. I think now they're changing it to being more attacking, more high risk, more aggressive. Mm-hmm. And even from being here, their whole training methods and methodologies are changing as well to suit, I think, a little bit of the way the game's evolved and the speed of the game. I think they're a bit caught up to the past, where they like to control a game in a very slow rhythm, in a high possession type game, but very slow rhythm. We're now, the likes of Ajax and PSV are changing that here in this country, and you can see a lot of clubs are looking to change the rhythm of the game and the way they want to play a more aggressive type attacking football. And you can see that in the Dutch national team. And they've done really well, and Ronald Koeman is doing an exceptional job. But their whole way of doing it and what they've brought into the methodology that they're using and so on has changed. So, yeah, it's interesting times here, like I said, and they're really, really looking to evolve the game here.
And they really are looking to evolve the game, and I feel like they're already doing that, especially with one of the qualities that they have in bringing through the youth quite early on to, you know, the national team, and also playing senior football. We see it quite regularly. Is that something else that you've really seen over there?
Yeah, look, I think age is not a question here, or not a barrier either when you're young. They just, the youth development system here is fantastic. There's no doubt about it. It's always been great. I think that if a player is 16 years old, if he's good enough and he's technically and tactically savvy enough to play at the highest level, they'll play him. And even here at Pegs Waller, even before I came, the year before, young Sepp Vandenberg was introduced to the senior team from the academy. He was only 16, and he was one of the youngest ever to play in the Eredivisie. He's, you know, sometimes that just doesn't happen, let's say, in Australia. I know that I've been part of Adelaide United where, you know, T-Boy Kamara played at a very young age, but T-Boy didn't really go on with it and you know, progress from playing at such a young age. But here, the Dutch really don't worry about the age and really help the young ones come along and come through. And look, it's one of these leagues as well. I think the mentality is that, you know, it's a development league in terms of developing players, and I'll sell them off to greater leagues and bigger leagues. But yeah, a lot more young players are coming through here, and the teams are a lot younger. And even being with the senior team, with John Van Skip, with Pegzola, we had a very young team, and you can see how, you know, a little bit of experience was needed during the Christmas time to bolster the squad a little bit. But relatively, they're young teams, and you can see that in Ajax as well. They're not exactly an older team. They're a very young team, and they've got a lot of potential to go on and do well, not only in this year's Champions League, but I think even in next year's.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens in this return leg with the UEFA Champions League this week as they play Juventus. Maybe they can get it over them because they do have the quality there, Ajax. But incredible stuff to see just how far they're progressing overall. And you touch on Pek Zwolle. Can you tell me a little bit about your role there at the club and you know, what you have your hand in?
Yeah, at the moment my role changed a little bit, but it's something that I've had done a little bit in the past, whether it was at Adelaide United, where we were developing the youth academy there, or with some of the work that I did with Joe Palacios and the coach of Melbourne City. But yeah, I stayed on after John Van Skip left. The club asked me to stay on and at least help with some of the stuff I was doing in the senior team with the youth academy coaches. And yeah, it was a little bit of a different skill set, but I think a skill set that can still help in where I want to go in my coaching and my coaching career. And that was a little bit with coaching the coaches, implementing philosophy. Not that they didn't have philosophy here, they had a philosophy throughout the academy, but it was just the building blocks that I'd learned back in Adelaide from some of the Barcelona coaches like Guillermo Moore and Joseph Gambale. I think it's a great tool, and we're able to implement that here to really streamline the philosophy that we want throughout the whole academy. And also we've changed a little bit the tactical prioritisation. As I said, they've worked a little bit differently in the past, and now they want to change, especially how we train the players and focus, you know, always focus on the physical side as well and the tactical side without isolating either. And we've seen the way the game has evolved. And like I said, we want to be a little bit more aggressive in attack and very more dynamic and really look at having our teams play high-energy football. So we've got to train in a little bit of a different way. And we're changing the whole tactical prioritisation of all our young teams, and especially our 16, 17s, 18s and 19s, which are, you know, at the winning phase, and we want them to be winning games as well. So how are we going to progress more youngsters through? That's what we looked at here, and there's a lot of high potentials here and good players, and we're making some changes in the way we do things here, and I've helped a lot in that, to get a lot more youngsters coming through that are really high potentials. With that, I've worked with a lot of the high potentials here as well, which is it's exciting to do so because they are really, really, really good young players. They're really tactically and technically up to it, and it's exciting what you can do and how you can work with players like that. So it's a little bit of a different role at the moment, and I miss a little bit the day-to-day team stuff that you get in developing your own team. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, and I'll be making a decision in the next couple of weeks in regards to Beck and staying on here. And, it's exciting times ahead.
And how has it been to work closely with former Manchester United defender Jaap Stam?
Yeah, look, he's been able to watch a lot of his sessions and speak to a lot of his coaching staff and watch the way he goes about his business. And he's been really good. Really good. And again, what I realise is that how humble some of the people are at the top level, and how easy they are to work with and offer advice and help out. And he's been fantastic. and I've enjoyed having some really good chats with him. And look, he's come in, and I think the club did the right move in bringing, you know, four or five experienced players that can help our young team. And I think that made a big difference in getting some more results. But it's, like I said, Louise, it's a different world here. And having relegation battles and teams fighting for European spots and teams, you know, like PSV and Ajax fighting for up on top of the championship, it's so exciting. Week in, week out, every game matters, every result matters. And it's just a lot of pressure, especially even on a lot of the teams on the bottom end because of the relegation battle and trying to survive. And it's the competition just takes a different dimension to what we have in Australia, where, you know, in the A-League we're playing for the championship, and if you're bottom two, it doesn't really matter.
No, exactly. And there's no punishment.
Yeah, no, there's no punishment. And I think, you know, that's where the Australian game has to evolve, has to take the next level of having a second division, B-League, whatever it is. And we've really got to focus on that. And I think not only in terms of offering that excitement to people and what it can do for the game and how the game could grow, but also for the opportunities it will give more young players and coaches to perform at a very high level and to become better and improve. And that's one of the biggest things here in Europe. There's so much opportunity to work. It's like I said to you previous to our interview, it is an industry here. And there's opportunities for players, opportunities for coaches to grow, to improve, to develop. And meanwhile, while they're improving and they're developing, so is the game. The game's evolving and becoming better. So, you know, it's something definitely Australian football really, really has to focus on. And I think it's definitely a B-League, and we need that opportunity. And also, I've always been a big advocate of it when I was even Adelaide days and working with the youth teams and that. You know, really focus on the development side. We can see what happened in the past with the J-League. And when the J-League came in, their main focus was development. And look at the J-League now. It's a competition for the best in Asia. And I think Australia, for far too long, has always focused on, you know, the weekend, the A-League, the NSL, have always focused on the result, the 3 points, winning, and not really what's happening below and developing the game and making sure that we create a foundation that will be there for years and will make football grow and keep growing. And, you know, I just think we really have to focus on the development side in the country as well.
Oh, well, most definitely, because we'll get left behind, not only domestically, but as a national team moving forward into the future. You want our youth national teams to be doing well now at this age so we can have national team success later on down the track.
Yeah, 100%. And you can use even the Dutch example now. You see a lot of their national teams and a lot of their younger teams, they're all performing really well now. And it's because of the work that's being done in the country and where the focus has been in the last, you know, a couple of years to make sure that the game improves here. And you can see that, I think, even at Australian national team level, with the teams below and some of the issues we have in Asia in the last few years, we haven't really grown. And it's a part of the game we've really left behind. And hence then, you know, we might be seeing, you know, some of the results we're getting in the A-League as well in terms of how many people are watching the game. Because, you know, I think we went through a phase in the A-League where the game was growing. It was growing really well, strong. It was, you know, people were going to the game, people were watching the game, and all of a sudden it's gone down a little bit. Mm. And it's got to do, I think, with the work that's been done at the bottom end and how much focus we've had there in the last 5, 8, 10 years. And I think we really have to start focusing on it. And we really have to start seeing that is where the problem has to be fixed, and that's where even the A-League teams really have to focus on and the whole federation to make sure that, you know, development is great, it's strong, and we're producing players, exciting players, and the game will keep growing and growing. But again, these players will need opportunity to play. They need more pathway, and that's where I think a B-League will be very important.
Something on top of that is the fact that we're not actually producing enough international players. We're not actually producing enough Australians who go abroad and, you know, apply their trade domestically. I think we need to be doing more of that as well. But it's great to see that there are two Australians over there at Peck Zwolle. We have young Denny Genro with you and also Dean Bouzanis. Let's talk about Denny first. How's he been dealing with the change from Melbourne City and adapting to the Eredivisie?
Yeah, I think for Denny it was a huge step, and even coming into pre-season here with, you know, some very good players, and it's a whole different culture. It's, you know, you come from the other side as a young boy, and it takes a little bit of time. But he did really well. He kicked off straight away, and that's, you know, Denny's got a great mentality and a great work ethic, and he loves what he does. And I think he had a fantastic preseason. I don't think John was looking at giving him an opportunity so early, but he was doing that well that he got his opportunities, and he played really well. And even the game here against PSV, I remember, for me, was one of his best, where he played extraordinarily well, and his work ethic and so on. And a lot of the Dutch supporters and Dutch people really love that work ethic that Australians can bring along into an environment. And look, I think he made great steps very early, very quickly, and then he got caught up with the national team as well, picked up an injury, and sort of that left him behind a bit. But, you know, I think he can take so much from this season and the steps he made from coming from Melbourne City, and I think he's done really well for the first 12 months here. And you need to be patient with young players like Denny, and I think, you know, a second season here, he'll really progress. And look, I believe a lot in his talent, and I think in the future he'll certainly be part of the national team, and he'll play a big role in Australian football. So he needs to keep focusing and keep fighting. And one of the things, you know, you touched on, we're not developing enough players at international level and playing overseas. And I think part of that, Louise, is a little bit of the player's mindset as well. I think in the past, and in, you know, when the NSL was around, the NSL wasn't full-time, and a lot of players want to become professional footballers, and they travel overseas, and let me tell you, it's not easy. I've done it myself as well, and there's huge challenges to face, whether they're cultural or whether it's the actual competition that exists within the team to make the teams. And back then, there was no easy way out, because you knew there was nothing to go back to. The professional football was in Europe, so you stuck it out as a player. You fought it out. You know, you either went down a division to go back up. You worked hard. You said, there's no way I'm going back.
Yep.
I think now there's players that do come from Australia. And they're fantastic players, and they do okay here in the first 6 or 12 months. But then they too easily make the decision to go back home, because there's always the A-League. And the A-League is a comfort zone, I think. And we need to, you know, change that mindset. A player goes overseas, he needs to battle it out and really, really fight it out, because the competition here, yes, it is much higher, and there's a lot more players to compete. Levels a little bit higher, but you have to fight it out, and you have to have that mindset that, you know, I'm going to make it. Otherwise, it's too easy. I go back home, play in a nice league, beautiful weather, beautiful country, get paid well, and I'm playing 6 months of the year. Well, am I going to challenge myself and fight to really progress here in Europe, like a lot of players from Australia did, you know, in the 90s.
Yeah, I fully agree with you. Fully agree with you. The mindset really isn't there these days, and it's really telling when you see some players come back to the A-League, because, as you say, it is a bit of a safety net for them. And then again, we're back where we started, not producing enough international players. So something has to change along the line.
Yeah, well, look, it's basically the mindset of the players that they, you know, if things don't go well for them in the first 6 or 12 months, how can they challenge themselves to make sure that they can progress in Europe instead of just the easy safety net of the A-League? And they've got to do that. And like I said, in the past, in the NSL days, players that did come across, they knew there was no going back because there's no professional support. Now, that's the easy answer, going back. And yeah, it's a little bit saddening, because that's going to hurt our national team as well. And they've really got to challenge themselves, players that come across here, because we have got talent. We have got players that can come across here and make it. There's no doubt about that. And I even see at younger ages how we've got a lot of good talented players at even a junior level, when you compare even the junior levels here. And we really need to believe in our talent, in our country, and we really need to encourage it. And we really need to help it along to believe that they can make it here. And look, like I said, it's the mecca of football, Europe, and we're missing the amount of players that should be playing here. And I think that we've got enough players with the capability to play here. It's just a mindset, and, you know, just not picking the easy choice of going back to the A-League. They've got to really stick it out here and work hard.
And we talk a lot about Australian players moving abroad and moving overseas to forge out a career. How tough, though, is it for an Australian coach to move abroad and try and forge a career? Because we don't really see too many Australian coaches at the moment overseas. I think there's only yourself, Ange Postecoglou, Joe Montemurro, Harry Kewell, who's currently out of a job, Arthur Pappas, and maybe one or two others off the top of my head. But it is, as I said at the start of the interview, great to see that there are slowly more and more trying to make their way in Europe.
Yeah, look, it's difficult. It's difficult because there's no doubt about it. They look at you a bit funny when you turn up because you are coming from Australia. We're on the other side of the world, and I really think they think of us as what do they know on that side of the world? You know, they've got great beaches, they've got good weather, they like a barbecue, they like having a beer. What would they know more than us? And mm-hmm. It's true. They look at us a little bit like that. And then you come along here and you start to work, and they've got really good coaches, there's no doubt about it, and they're tactically really savvy and they do things really well, and we can learn from them as well. But once they do give us the opportunity to work, I think, and being a coach that's come here now and done that, you really realise that we're not far behind. We have got really good coaches as well. And that's one of the things. I think sometimes in Australia we put our players down, or we put our coaches down as well, that we generally like to think that we're not good enough, and because we're so far away from Europe. No, I think a lot of times, whether we're coaches or players, we're born in the country on the other side of the world, that far away from football, that we don't have the opportunities these guys have here. It doesn't mean that we're not good enough. I think they're good enough. And you'll generally see that Australian coaches work really hard away from home, and they study meticulously to become better, and they watch a lot of football to become better, and they try to evolve as coaches. We're here, they do get a little bit of their comfort zone. And it's funny that, you know, you come across and you're doing a job, and now you've been asked to coach their coaches. I smile at it, but I feel good about it as well, that, you know what, we Australians can do a really good job over here, and it's just about being given an opportunity. And I think that you'll find that there's a lot of good Australian coaches in Australia. All they need is an opportunity, and it's hard to get by, and that's one of the things now in my mind as well, where, you know, it's you get opportunities to go here and there, but once you're in Europe, do you really want to give that away? Because it's such a hard place to break through as an Aussie. So look, I'm looking to make the most of it, and I'm taking some side steps in where I want to be and what I want to do. And you know, I love being in senior football and being in the senior environment, but also I'm pretty sure in what I'm doing now, it's giving me skill sets that will make me a better head coach one day. There's no doubt about it, with the type of people I'm dealing with and what I've got to give over as well, and the work we're doing. It's fantastic. So going back to what you said, yeah, I think, you know, Australian coaches just need to be given an opportunity, because they're we're certainly good enough to be working abroad in Europe.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for joining me, and I wish you all the very best, and look forward to chatting to you again sometime soon.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you, and looking forward to chat again.